Om Shanti. I was told that it was announced in the morning class that I would be speaking on power of silence. I would therefore first of all take up the power of silence. Wouldn't it have been better if we had been in silence rather than speak on power of silence? First of all, I would like to explain what to me silence means. What is silence? I think when our mind is free from inner conflicts, there is no turmoil at the thought level. The mind is calm and composed. There is quietness of the mind. Then I would say that I am in a state of silence. There can be many kinds of silence. This is one kind of silence about which I am speaking. When the mind does not have any confusion, there is another thing. Because when there is confusion, then also there is a tug of war. Whether this is correct or that is correct, this thought or the other one. Even then, the mind is not in silence. So there should be no conflict, no confusion, and no dissatisfaction. If there is dissatisfaction, then also the mind is not quietened. It is not in calmness. And there should be no disturbance of any sort. Someone insults us, someone talks about us in a negative way to other people, and we come to know of this, then we feel disturbed because of the behavior of this person. Our mind being disturbed, we will say, I am not in the state of silence. I may not be speaking any word. Outwardly, I may be a silent person, but inwardly, there is a storm in my mind. Mind is not silent. So there, when there is no disturbance, then only I can say that I am in a state of silence. And many of Baba's murlis give us how to have this kind of silence. For example, he says that if you set yourself in your seats, then the storms, the parasthitis, the circumstances, the events outside cannot shaken you, cannot disturb you. If you are firmly set in your seat, this is one of the points he has been giving, that you must stabilize yourself in self-respect, in your own identity, so on. So what is meant is that in that state of calmness and composure and quietness of mind, we should be firmly rooted, unshakably rooted. That is what is meant by the silence of mind. In the ocean or in the seas also, sometimes at the surface there may not be many waves, many tides, but there may be undercurrents. So there should be no undercurrents also in the mind. Sometimes it so happens that even when we look into ourselves, we find that there isn't much disturbance in our mind. But in our subconscious mind, there may be some kind of disturbance. There isn't any sign of peacelessness, but there isn't either any feeling of positive peace. Even then I would say that mind is not in silence. And then, at the jnani level, there should be no doubts left in our mind. Doubts also make sometimes our mind disquietened. There may be very strong doubts about what Baba says, what this knowledge says. And those doubts again may shake ourselves from our feeling of identity, from our self-realization. So many of the murlis, you know, Baba has been talking about the questions, the why and wherefore of things, asking so much. Pooch, pooch, Baba says, like Hanuman, you have pooch, like the apes or the monkeys have the tail. These questions he has been comparing to that pooch, the tails, the difference between the human beings and the monkey. The monkey has the tail, and the questions he has been comparing to the tails. It's not wrong with us if we have some curiosity. We want to know something deeper, further, more enlightenment. But doubt is different from questions. And questions out of curiosity to know more because our education is continuing is different. But if we have doubts in the validity of what has been told to us, in the rationality, the logic or the truth of what has been given to us, that is something different. That shakes us. So that shouldn't be there. And there should be no puzzles left which bite our mind. We think that there is some kind of a contradiction somewhere in the knowledge. If we are aware of some kind of contradictions, strong contradictions here and there, and those contradictions give rise to certain strong doubts, and those doubts engage our attention so seriously that there is sluggishness in our spiritual efforts, then our mind is not in state of silence. And as I said earlier also, not only the mind at the conscious level, but also at the subconscious level, it should be at rest. Silence of mind means restfulness of mind. We should feel complete relaxation of mind, complete rest, that kind of state. Sometimes there may be a feeling of guilt. We may have done something in the past which, according to our present stage of enlightenment, was not correct. It was a negative karma which we have not done now after we have been in jnana, but maybe in the years before we came to this institution. So that feeling of guilt or that awareness of our negative side or our past ajnani life, even that may disquieten the mind. Baba says past is past. Forget about it. You have not only to detach from your body, not only to detach from your relatives, from the world and worldly objects, you have also to detach from your own past. This is also necessary. Detachment would be complete only when our past also does not disturb us. Let us think that that was a different person who did that. I am a newborn one. I am in a new life. That man is dead who did that. Otherwise, that kind of awareness, that kind of consciousness would be a mental block, a block at the thought level, which will not allow us to make any progress, will always pull us back, and we will be living in the past rather than in the present and in the future. And most of the people live most of the time of their life in the past, because when we are aware of the past, naturally we are living in the past, which is wrong. We are in a way giving new lease of life to what happened in the past. Suppose there was an event in the past which took place and took, say, 10 minutes. If again and again I remember it, I am prolonging its time, its duration. Those 10 minutes are over long ago, but again and again remembering that, reliving that negative experience is, so to say, increasing the duration of that event, which is wrong, against spiritual wisdom. So let me be detached from that past, opening a new chapter of my life, and that would bring the silence or quietening of mind. And this should bring the erasement or effacement of my past memories. I should be totally forgetful of those things. Not only I have to forget and forgive the others when they do some wrong actions. A yogi is supposed to forget and forgive. Anybody says, I am sorry, let me forget and forgive. Not only the other person, but also myself. If I forgive other persons and forget their wrong actions, but I remain very much aware of my own past bad actions, that also is not a yogi type action. Let me forget, detach. And then silence of mind comes when there are no desires, no worldly desires. Desires for name and fame, desire for self-glorification, desire for this comfort of life, that privilege, and so on. If I am very much aware of this, I want that, I want the other thing, then my mind is all the time occupied with certain thoughts which will not let me to have complete stage of restfulness, that stage of silence, deep silence. So a stage of deep silence is a stage free of desires. There is only one desire, because the desires cannot be completely eliminated. There is only one desire in place of all the other desires. This has replaced all the other desires, and this desire is the link with the Supreme. That I want to experience that highest bliss. I want to realize myself. Only this is the desire. Because it is a desire which takes us to some action, to some effort. Without desire, there cannot be any action, mental or physical. So even my effort for attaining that stage of silence must be born of some desire. Without desire, even this effort could not take place. And the desire in this case is that I want to realize my original state, my state of silence. So all other desires are automatically eliminated or replaced. And then silence also means use of minimum words. When we talk, whenever we have to speak, to express something through something orally, let us use the minimum words. Let us not waste energy, because silence also, our words will be powerful when we use them considering as energy, expenditure of energy. There is no action which can take place without any expenditure of energy. Even the winking of our eye requires some energy. There is no action on earth, physical or mental, which does not require any energy. Action is nothing but only an expenditure of energy in one form or the other. Without that, there could not be any action. So let there be no waste thoughts and no waste words. Let us use the minimum words. Then what will happen is that our words would become blessings. They would become vardhan. Whatever we say, a stage will be reached when they will happen. Our words will never go waste. That is the sign of a holy person. Whatever he utters, even about the future, that takes place. Because only those thoughts occupy his mind which reflect the future, which is to happen. Other thoughts do not even come. So in order to attain that stage, we should speak with deep thought and the minimum, the least possible, without any waste expressions. So this will allow us to be in a stage of silence. You must have observed when a trance messenger goes into trance, detaching from the body, cutting herself off from the environment, being totally oblivious of what is happening here, and going to the beyond, and not being aware of what is around here, then what happens is, after that period of trance, when he or she comes, mostly she, not he, because there are very few brothers who go in trance. So when a trance messenger comes back, then you know, take some time to come into the normal state of speaking. The voice is gradually raised. Initially it is like whispers, not of high pitch. So why is it? Because when you are detached from your body, and when you are in a stage of silence, in a stage of being beyond, then your natural stage is of silence. From silence always you come into talk. The original is silence. So the less we speak, the better it would be, the easier it would be, more convenient it would be to go into that stage of silence. The more we talk, the more effort will be required to withdraw from this and to come back to our original stage of silence. So when people sometimes observe mon or silence, when they say they will observe restraint on themselves and not speak totally, then what happens is it takes them better to give that realization of inner silence also, because it is a step nearer to the mental silence. And when Baba says we should become like angels, it is what means that we should be in a state of silence. Our action should produce the least of sound, or there should be the voice at the least, at the lowest pitch. Not only the number of words should be the minimum, but at the lowest pitch, the least of rustling of sound. And this is what we would say angel-like. And very often when Baba was in Sakar farm, he used to say, when you cook food in the kitchen, suppose there are 15 persons working at a time, and someone comes, and from when he is near that kitchen, he thinks that there is no one in the kitchen, because there is no sound coming outside. But when one enters into the kitchen, one finds that there are 15 persons working. One is therefore surprised. 15 persons working as a team, each depending upon the action of the other. There is some kind of a coordination. Then, even then, there is pin drop silence. So Baba said that you should practice this kind of what he called movie stage. Not talkie. He used to compare our two stages. The one is movie, the other is talkie. Like we had the movies before, we had these talkies or cinemas. He used to compare it to this. That when you work, try to be movie like the angels are, rather than being talkative most of the time. And as a matter of fact, when we are in a state of silence, then our communication is more at the vibrational level. This we have to practice. And when I was saying that we have to prepare for the service for the future, one of the topics which I was dealing with yesterday, I was to explain later on, actually that was the plan, that we have to prepare to communicate at the vibrational level. When, for example, we look, our eyes communicate. We make a gesture, our hands communicate. And better than that would be if our vibrations touch the minds of others deeply. They create the impact. So, in the stage of silence, we can, with our powerful and strong vibrations, communicate what we want to communicate through words. Because they are only different states of energy at the different levels. Even the words have to be decoded, to be interpreted. They are just sound. And our ear gets only the electrical impulses, they go to the brain. And ultimately they have to be decoded or interpreted. Without that they make no meaning, no sense. So could happen with the vibrations. One can understand on the basis of physics that this could take place. Sound is a wave, it is a vibration at a different wavelength, and vibration itself is a vibration at another wavelength. So if something could be communicated through sound or words, why could not that be communicated simply at the vibrational level? Even before we speak, there is a thought. Speech is nothing but a translation of our thought in words. And thought is a vibration. So if we can communicate at the thought level, that we can do when we are in a state of deep silence. That is what we are to try to make practice. And why we want to attain that stage of silence? Presently I have been explaining what to me is silence. And now I would like to say what would be the benefits. Because unless and until we are motivated, we do not make efforts. If we very clearly know what will be the benefits, the advantages which we will be having, then naturally it motivates us strongly so that we work for it. And one of the things is that we will be able to experience the karmatit stage. The karmatit stage, the stage above action. All the time we are doing action. Almost the whole of our life has passed in doing action, either at the mental level or at the physical level. Never have there been even a few moments when we were in the stage which was almost equivalent to the stage in the soul world. By karmatit stage, I mean the stage which the soul has in the soul world, where it has no thoughts, no actions, no desires. It is in its original form, original stage. That is the karmatit stage, the stage above action, mental and physical. So if I want to know, because I have been given to understand that I am a soul, that I am a point of light, that originally I am pure, peaceful, and that I come from Paramdham, our soul world, and that in soul world, such and such was my stage. I know it is only through lot of verbalization, but I want to experience it now as a yogi. And in order to experience it, I have to go back to my stage of silence. Because the stage of karmatit, my stage in the soul world, was a stage of perfect silence. I had no desires, and since there were no desires, there were no thoughts. Since there were no desires and no thoughts, there were no actions. And since there were no actions, there was no peacelessness and sorrow and suffering. And that was a stage when I had purity. So when I go back again to that stage of deep silence, then only I can realize by experience that stage which is called the karmatit stage. So the first thing is, and that is the highest. Many sannyasis, these hermits and anchorites and renunciates, they have been trying to attain that stage, considering it as the highest. And in this life, yogi life, when we are in a stage of that deep silence, and our mind is completely, even though the body is here, you know, one of the songs says, Tan hamara yahan hoga, man hamara vahan hoga. We are to attain a stage so that our body being here, the mind is over there. So, when we are in a stage of deep silence, our mind will be completely stabilized in the soul world, in a desireless state, and that is what is actually called the seed stage, the most powerful stage, when our mind is completely stabilized, completely concentrated, completely pure. So that would be one of the greatest advantages or benefits of experiencing that karmatit stage. And you can say at the same time, we will be experiencing the real nature of the soul. The real nature of the soul. To know only through expression that I am a point of light, I am a soul, is only just imagining. It's some kind of visualizing. But the better would be to experience it, to realize it. And that realization can come only through returning through a retreat to the stage of complete silence. I'll come to that also. But actually, when I say that beyond the effects of karma, it is an effort here. Because it is, when we say that karma stage is one, so that when we lead a lotus-like life, and being in this world, we are not affected by the effects of our actions, the results of our actions. It is because the original karmati stage in this whole world was without any such effects. So to have something like that here is what is called karmati stage. Now this karmati stage in silence is when you are in complete stage of meditation. And when you are in action, not to be affected by the fruits of the action, the results of the action, is something which is near to that karmati stage. Not completely karmati stage, but while engaging yourself into action, not to be receiving the pollution of the action is also a karmati stage, being akin to it. And when we are in that stage of silence, then we can listen better to the whispers from the beyond. When Shiv Baba wants to speak to us directly, because then we are open, our ears are close to the outside, our eyes are close to the outside, and our mind is not occupied with any kinds of its own thoughts. At that time it is in a proper state when it can be receptive to what Shiv Baba wants to do. So that we are open to that kind of surgery which that spiritual surgeon wants to perform on ourselves. We are completely resolved to him at that stage. So that if he wants to tell something, and that is the most effective. When in a stage of silence, something comes up in our mind as a word, as a word of advice from Shiv Baba, that has a very lasting effect. It has the greatest influence. When somebody utters something to us, some senior one tells us something which is beneficial and useful to us, these things help us. But when we get something directly in a state of complete silence from Shiv Baba, that being the most powerful, and at that time our mind being the most receptive, most impingeable by that kind of influence, is a lasting, that kind of transformation would be the most wonderful transformation. It would break the hard crust which has been on our soul, and to bring about a rapid change in our life. It's very essential. Certain things which we cannot have, even we daily listen in Murlis, Baba says, do this and don't do that. But still we don't do it and we are not able to attain what he wants us to attain. But in that stage of silence, the bliss, the ecstasy, the intoxication is so much, which makes a breakthrough in our life. A new channel opens. A new kind of transformation takes place. New kind of renovation process starts from within, without anybody's asking. And then also at the same time, something from Shiv Baba, because now we are open to him, we expose ourselves to him. So his processes also begin to start to take place on us. And that brings in quicker change. Our effort becomes very fast. Then we become Bab Saman, like the Father. If we really want to become like the Father, not only we have to follow him in our actions, keeping his biography in view of us, fully in view of the eye of our mind, but when we become that soul, that point of light and nothing else, by being completely in silence, without any desire, without any other kind of thought, worldly thought, then that is a stage when we are really Bab Saman. And as I was saying about the service, Baba says Mansa Seva. Service at the mental level, at the thought level, not merely at the vocal level, verbal level. So if we want to impart experience to others, the service at the experiential level, what is bliss? I can explain to someone what is bliss, but that would be only a dictionary meaning of the word. But if someone is to be given a feeling, a feel of what bliss is like, if I am completely in a state of silence, in that blissful state, and that man sits in my presence, he should be able to get that feeling of bliss. So if I want to do that service at the experiential level, it can be the more I am able to be in the deeper the silence in which I can stabilize myself. Because at that time, my vibrations will be so strong, so powerful, that at the experiential level, mind-to-mind communication would be possible and that person would be able to get that experience. And this is the real service which we are supposed to do. And if I want to bring some transformation in someone's life, I think that this person is very much caught up in this quagmire and he is not able to come out of it despite his best efforts. I want to help the person to have certain qualities which from his own efforts he is unable to have. If even at that level I want to help him, that is also possible through the experience, through this power of silence. Qualitative change in another person. Now, how to attain this stage is the main question. It is easy to say that we should be without desires, but how is it possible? It is easy to say that we should have contentment, we should have satisfaction, but how to have it? It is easy to say that we should stabilize in that stage. How to stabilize that stage? There are Murlis, many Murlis on all these subjects, but I would just give one hint for everything. What are the small hints, some points, which we just try to practice and we will be able to have that stage? Now, so far as the desires are concerned, what are our desires about? Let me first of all ask myself, what do I desire? Ultimately, what are all my desires aimed at? There may be hundreds of desires, thousands of desires, millions of desires. But what do I actually want? What do all those desires mean? What am I after? And if you just try to find out as to what the meaning of the direction of all those desires is, you will find that when we say that Shiv Baba is knowledgeful, peaceful, blissful, loveful, almighty, so on, there are certain desires which are fulfilled through knowledge. There are other desires which are fulfilled if we get peace. There are other desires which are fulfilled if we get power. There are other desires which are fulfilled if we have purity, so on. So if I know what is the root cause of all desires, then I find that if I am able to have my deepest connection with Shiv Baba, if I realize that now I have got the source, And now there is the possibility of all desires getting fulfilled at one stroke because of my deep connection with Shiv Baba. He is the ocean of all, of knowledge, of peace, of virtue, of purity, of bliss, of power. Then there is no desire which is beyond this, outside this. So if I tell myself, try to educate myself, that all your desires now have no legs to stand upon because you now have connection with Shiv Baba, and now as being an inheritor to Shiv Baba, all your desires will be fulfilled. So this is the best way of trying to give myself the understanding that my desires are either for peace or for prosperity, for happiness, for this and for all that, and these can be fulfilled if I become the inheritor of Shiv Baba. And when I realize that now I have attained Shiv Baba, I have now a very intimate connection with him, and he is the source of all of these. All the people ask and pray to him for this, and I did not pray because now I am his child, and I would naturally inherit from him. It is my birthright. Baba has given us this slogan: complete purity, peace and prosperity for 21 lives is your godfatherly birthright. Previously, Sakar Baba used to ask us to print in every piece of literature, almost on every single page, in every invitation card, in all the newspapers, this one: beloved children, God says, beloved children, my most beloved children, complete purity, complete peace, complete prosperity for 21 lives at a stretch is your godfatherly birthright. How reassuring it is. It is your birthright. Why you are looking after it? You are running after it. It is your birthright. And I have come to give this to you. It is for you now to take it. How easy. So if that is going to happen, because God says it is going to happen, then all my desires are fulfilled, because the desires are either for peace or for prosperity, for happiness, health, wealth and happiness. And these are fulfilled if one attains God. He is the giver of all these. So the stage of silence, as I said, can be attained when we have no desires and all our desires are replaced by this. This is the way how to do it. Then secondly, there are many points which Baba has given us, but one is that this Kali-yugi world, this Iron Age world, is going to get destroyed very soon. What do you want in this world? Suppose you become a billionaire or millionaire, all those bank balances will be lost. If you just get 2 loaves of bread a day, fine, enough. You want to sustain yourself. If you have a number of buildings, after all you are going to live only in 1 or 2 rooms. You are not going to move through the whole night from one bed to another. It would make no sense. Why you are running after all this? You see. And you are in the first step, you see, is that you are making efforts for earning money. You spend your energy, time and are worried about earning money. Then you store money and try to evade tax. Then again another worry. Then how to use that money is another worry. And all these money will be lost. Baba has been saying, kisi ki rabi rahi dhool rahe hain, kisi ki raja khaye, kisi ki chor loot gaye, kisi ki aag jalaye. A time is coming when all this will be mixed into the dust. Either government will lay their hands on it, or there will be earthquakes and natural calamities, and because of that factor you will lose them. It's not going to last. Money, even otherwise, also is something mortal, something not lasting. Why you are worrying about this? So all our desires, if we just think, try to rationalize, we find that it is just waste thoughts we are having. Our desire now should be only to, and particularly when Baba says this Kali-yugi world, Bambor ko aag lagne wali hai, Baba says this Kali-yugi world is going to get destroyed. People do not know, but we know it. So our mind comes at rest and we go into that power of silence, which is the greatest joy to us. Then if there are some, now this was about those desires. Now the other one was doubts, that we should have no doubts, because the stage of silence is the stage without doubts. And you know, when we read the Gita, Bhagavad Gita, in the 18th chapter, towards the end, when the dialogue comes to the close, in the final stage, the last few paragraphs, what happened to Arjuna, expressing his stage after listening to God's discourse, mightier discourse, he says, Nashto moha, my attachment is gone. Smriti labdha, now I know, I remember my goal, myself, my identity, and so on. And one of the important things he says, Gat sandeha, all my doubts are now vanished. My Lord, there is no question left. There is not an iota of doubt left. Now I doubtlessly know what you said is correct. So that stage, Baba says, Nishchaya Buddhi, Nishchaya Atma Vijayati. You will be the world conquerors. You will be able to conquer your organs, your senses. You will be able to control and rule your mind. But only when you become Nishchaya Atma, when you have complete faith in the knowledge, its source, its veracity, its truth, its validity, its logic, and its complete application, that it will end all our pains and sorrows and sufferings. When you have complete, unmitigable faith, immovable faith in this, because that will give you the inner strength and inner stamina. If our mind is divided, like a divided house, we are not able to win a victory. Like an army which is divided by different generals, cannot score the final victory. Similarly, our mind's forces, if they are divided by doubts, we cannot score the final victory. So when no doubt is left, then is our final victory. And if despite all the efforts, there are still some doubts left, something which we feel is not completely clear to us, then Baba has been saying in many murlis, the education is continuing. It has not ended. The teacher is there. The classes are there. Education is a continuing process. Baba never said, now complete holiday, I give you the certificate. Whatever I had to teach, I have taught. Whatever you had to learn, you have learned. Okay, now you can be out of the university. No longer you are the students. Baba said, still there is much to be told to you. Wait. Wait and see. Baba has been saying. So if there are some doubts, let not those doubts bite your mind, disturb your mind. Even if there is something, Baba is there. At least we have no doubt about this. Who is teaching us? Now, Baba being knowledgeful, since he is teaching us, as a teacher he knows the best when to reveal what. And a day will come when he will throw more light on this and we will be able to know this. So let our doubts vanish. Or at least, for the time being, let them not come again and again and raise their heads, and let us not go into the state of silence. And then, the most important thing is intense love of Shiv Baba. Without that, there couldn't be any stage of complete silence. It is love which takes us into that state, finally. The deeper the love, the more intense the love, the easier, quicker and deeper is our stage of silence. Because love gives us that experience. It is our original quality from which we have been rooted out, thrown out of our house into which we were living. And now when we come back to our stage of that love, this is what the soul is actually starving for. And when the soul comes back to that stage of love for Shiv Baba, then it is restored to its original stage. And that is the stage of silence. And another thing is, let there be no hidden corner of our mind which we have not opened to Shiv Baba. Let there be no reservation from Shiv Baba. We should not conceal or hide anything from Shiv Baba. That is what actually the self-surrender means in one aspect. Our everything should be open to Shiv Baba, what we actually are. We should not try to hide from him, because otherwise his forces will not act upon it. Because we are trying to be concealing those things from him. When his gracious view falls upon those, all the parts of ourselves, then only we will be really transformed. No reserves from Shiv Baba. So intimate should be our relationship. So much should we be open to each other, that there is nothing which we have not opened to Shiv Baba. And then what will happen is that in this stage of silence, our energy will be conserved. Our energy will not be wasted. There are many murlis where Baba says there should be no leakage of thoughts, no wastage of thoughts, and so on. And in this silence, this is the way how we can plug, stop, completely stop the wastage of thoughts, the negative thoughts, and so on. The leakage, as he calls it. And this will conserve our energy. And very often he has been asking to lay by something in our banks for the time of need, the time which is fast coming, that we should be able to store something for our future. Presently, whatever we are earning, we are spending. We are not reserving something for our future needs. Every wise man tries to lay down something for an hour of need. If we earn $500 and spend $500, our balance being zero, then if suddenly we require some money, we have to beg it from others. We are beggars all through their life. But a wise person is one who may even spend 400 and lay by at least 100, so that we may immediately require for some emergency. So, and this silence is the way where we can conserve. And this is what Baba has been very often asking, children, you lay down something in store for your future. In the future, when there will be a lot of turmoil, there will be world war and natural calamities and upheavals of various sorts, it will be the silence energy which will be of use. So, presently we are spending it perhaps beyond our budget which we can afford. Then, like the transistor, not trans sister, the sister which goes in trance, but transistor, you know. Because it is a tongue-twisting word. When an Indian speaks transistor, maybe some people from other cultures, they think that I am talking about transistor. So I thought I must make it clear. So, without any wires, without any cables, it can receive what is being broadcast from a radio station. And we can listen. Now you can become transistor. So, what I was saying was, as a transistor can catch the news from a broadcasting station, or a TV screen can show us what is being telecast from a TV station, so does our mind become in that stage of silence, or as a result of that stage of silence. So powerful and so clear it becomes that we can give messages to people at the telepathic level, at the mind level, at the thought level and experiential level. And we can also catch the vibrations of others and visualize the future very clearly. These, without working for those occult powers, which is not our aim, they automatically come because of this power of silence. And as I was saying yesterday, that in the earlier days, when this institution was first founded, many people used to get divine visions. If one sister was introducing this knowledge to another, while a discourse was being given, while even the sound of Om, Om was being made, many detached from their body and they had experience of being in another state of consciousness and had visions, sakshatkar as we call it, divine visions. That was because in those days much emphasis was laid on this stage of silence. So Baba has been saying that this will again happen in the future, towards the end, as it happened in the beginning of this institution, in the earlier stages, so will it repeat itself again towards the end. And why will it repeat again? Because our utmost attention will be on attaining the stage of silence. The circumstances will be such that we will not be able to give knowledge to the multitudes by word of mouth. And our own stage will have so much advanced, become higher, that we will be able to communicate at the vibrational level. So therefore, in that power of silence, so powerful we would be that people would get visions, that golden age is coming, that we are the devis and devtas whom they have been worshipping, that it is God's work which is taking place, that they are the people who have been able to attain the divine powers. Naturally, they must have done so from the highest one. So these things will be clear, and then Baba says the world drama will be over. That will be the final scene. Prataksta ka parda khul jayega, that is what he has been saying. The curtain would be set apart, because the glorification of God will be the final, the culmination of this drama. Everything will be clear to people. This will be because we would have been observing much silence. And I think when I was saying that Baba wants us to prepare for future service, if you just remember, in many Murlis he has been saying now about Mansa Seva. Previously, those who could deliver good speeches, who could write good articles, could give 1 week courses to others, they were considered to be very serviceable brothers and sisters. But Baba has been saying that equal are the marks given to those who do the service through silence, silence power, Mansa Seva. And this emphasis, this shift in emphasis will bring in the shift in the nature of service, the way of doing service. And ultimately it would lead us to stage when we will be able to give this knowledge to many, to millions. And I think this stage of silence is the most creative stage. One gets very powerful thoughts, and those thoughts can, when put into practice or implemented, can, because this process of creation of the new world takes place through this power of silence. And if we really want to have some new ways of service, new ways of glorifying Baba and giving this message to the world, for that also we need to be more in silence. Because when we are in silence, we will get some new ideas, very creative, very productive, potentially very great, very powerful in their impact. Like the scientists, Baba says, have been preparing more and more powerful weapons. It is the power of silence which will give you the powerful spiritual weapons. Sometimes they say that we have been able to invent the ultimate weapon. This power of silence will give us the ultimate weapon, whereby the message will spread like anything. Shh, it is gone. Like that. And not only that, Baba says even the destruction is waiting, the final act, because of the lack of our silence power. The more we stabilize in silence power, so much will be the strong vibrations that the negativity in the world would finally be ended. It is not being ended. The world is becoming more and more negative because we are sluggish in our this effort. The more we are powerfully rooted and stabilized in silence, you will find that the signs of destruction would show themselves up, and there will be very many news you will be getting. This thing started. Now they say sometimes cold war, sometimes hot war, you know. Sometimes partly cold, partly hot. But then it will be terribly hot, something. Because when we heat ourselves in that tapasya, that stage of silence is the real stage of tapasya, heating ourselves up. When we get that temperature of yoga, the highest one, that kind of furnace, in which even iron can be melted into water-like liquid. So do we reach that stage, that highest stage. Then this final act will take place. And then that kingdom will come into being, for which we are all making efforts. Now, this is what I wanted to say about silence. And one thing I left, I said something about how to eliminate desires, and also when there are doubts, what to think, so on. But the other one was that our subconscious should also be at rest. I said that we will be in state of silence when even our subconscious, there are no undercurrents also. Our subconscious is also at rest. And I think that can be possible only when we completely expose ourselves to Shiv Baba. Completely open ourselves to Shiv Baba. So that his highest forces can act on the subconscious. We are by our own efforts, and this is what is called God's grace. Here is what God's grace comes into play. Often Baba says that if you march one step towards me, I will march 100 steps towards you. And he also says, Himmat marda madad khuda. If you help yourselves, God will help you. Now, in spiritual terminology, if we try to interpret what it means is, that when we stabilize ourselves in stage of silence, if this one step we take, then by His grace, His forces will act 1,000 times, 1,000-fold on our subconscious. Because it is easier to change your conscious, but it is very difficult to change your subconscious. I have seen many people in Gyan for a long time, changing themselves in this habit, that habit and the other habit. But some of the habits which are very deep rooted, which are embedded in the subconscious, have not been eliminated. Despite their very strong desire to eliminate them, it is because of the lack of effort of sitting in deep silence. This one step has not been taken. So that if this one step were taken, and Baba would have taken 1,000 steps, and the result would have been what the persons desired. But this has not happened, and some people call it as God's grace. If I go one step forward, and God comes towards me 1,000 steps, isn't it God's grace? If I just help myself only in a small way, and God helps me multi times more, this is what you may call God's grace. Because this result is not based on simply my effort. God's effort is involved. This is God's gift, God's blessing, God's boon, or you may say God's grace. And without this, there cannot be complete transformation, complete change. We cannot attain the highest stage without its grace. And in order to have that grace, the best way is to be in that stage of silence. If I can't be in complete silence, let me be whatever little I can be. And then, when His forces act on my subconscious, next time I will be able to go into better silence. Third time, I would be improved. Next time, I would be improving more. This process will continue. And a day will come when by His grace, I will be able to stabilize myself in the highest state of consciousness. That would be possible. So in order to transform the subconscious, which is one of the main ends of our effort, we must go again and again into that stage of silence. And this traffic control is aimed mainly for this reason, for taking us again and again into that power of silence, so that we stop talking at that time, stop doing other things, and think of silence and go into silence again and again. And by this, you know, whenever an action is repeated a number of times, then it becomes a part of our nature. It becomes easy for us to be in that. That is the real meaning why we practice it again and again. It is only that which can change. Now this is what I wanted to say about silence. Then one thing I wanted to point out was that in Baba's life we found that Baba's every act was service. In our case, our certain special acts are the acts of service. But Baba's every act was the act of service. Service was not different from his daily routine. His whole life was service. Whatever he spoke, whatever he said, whatever he did, it was inspiring. It was a kind of guidance for the others. It set an ideal, an example unto others. His whole lifestyle, his way of living, was unto others something which illumined them for higher goals and nobler aims. And besides how the service developed, which is the historical part of it, on which it may not be possible to dilate further because of the limitations of time, what I wanted to say was, finally, that we should try that through our drishti. Let us see how we can do service. Our every sense organ should be an instrument for service. When we look at some person, let us not look upon him with the thought, he or she is this person or that person. But let us serve that person through powerful drishti. Even if that person was not soul conscious at that time, when we peep into the eyes of that person gets a new feel and gets reminded of being soul conscious. So our drishti should do the service. Therefore, whenever they approach a holy person, a spiritual one, they say, aapki drishti chahiye, aapki kripa drishti chahiye. You see, a holy person is supposed to help everyone through his drishti. His power, drishti should be powerful. Our seeing others should not go in vain. It should have achieved some end. If I look at somebody without solving any problem or without doing anything, that action is wasted. If on the other hand I look at somebody and my look is transforming that person, giving him some kind of transcendence from the feeling of the body, very much uplifting that person, I am doing the service, even though I am talking at the same time. So, service through drishti. Not only when I am sitting here and just we are all meditating, then only drishti is doing service. But all through the day it is not doing that service. That means drishti does service only for a few minutes in the day. Not that. Let us extend its period of time and make it effective all through the day. And secondly, vritti. Your mental attitude towards a person. Baba says, have goodwill, good wish. Whenever you meet a person, inwardly think that he may also have grace of God on him. He may also rise spiritually higher. Always think good of others. Your thoughts should be directed towards the betterment of others. Not that we have a special project this year, Global Cooperation for a Better World. Therefore, we are thinking betterment of others. But as yogi, this is because Baba has given us this project to practice this. Actually, every moment we should be thinking how to make the world better, and when you want to make the world better, how everyone should become better. And unless and until you have goodwill towards others, how can you start the effort? So the first thing is that our vritti, no one is our enemy. There is no one whom we hate. There is no one who is our rival. There is no one against whom we have any kind of struggle of survival. No. We want everyone to attain the highest. We have love, good wishes, goodwill for all. So this should be our state of our mind. Let us not just talk and walk together and see at each other without any end being achieved, because we are constantly marching towards our goal. Our efforts are continuing. We do not stop in our efforts. And let those vibrations of goodwill and good wishes continue. So this is the service through vritti. This is what Baba did. When we sat near to Baba, we felt those vibrations which were giving us inner peace, some kind of solace. Even when he did not talk to us and was just looking at us, our curves on the face changed. Suppose I go with a serious face, even otherwise I also have a serious face. So when I go near Baba, you will find it became like this, because the inner one felt something. So this is what happened. This should happen. And then, through smriti, suppose we want to help someone, we remember Shiv Baba for his sake. In bhakti cult, what they do is, they do the japa for the sake of others. Let this person be cured. Let this problem be solved. Let this person be free from that worry. Not that kind of thing. Our aims are not that. We are not counting the beads of a rosary or doing the japa for that kind of thing. But that must have started from somewhere, some thought. And Baba says all things started from this Sangam Yuga. We have not only good wishes, but if someone is in trouble, some kind of a pollution has influenced his mind, then for the betterment of this person, we specially sit in meditation. Let this person be released from the grip of Maya into which he nowadays is. This kind of effort, through smriti also we help people do service. Now, what we presently are doing is service through kriti. Kriti means action. We are not doing it through vritti, drishti and smriti. Vritti means mind's thrust, mind's attitude or my mental outlook, and drishti is the gaze of the eyes and That is drishti, then vritti, then smriti, I said, by remembering Shiv Baba is called smriti. And what we are doing is kriti, means which is actions only, at the action level, physical action. And then priti, love. You can sustain many in spiritual effort by love. If someone comes to the center, if you can't explain all the spiritual questions which he puts to you, but if they say, even if you want to kill somebody, kill him with love. Love there is a most potent weapon. If we want to sustain people in their spiritual life, because there are many pressures from the outside, people are pulling them from their legs, from their jacket, from their jeans, they are pulling them back into the world. If we want to pull them towards ourselves, this force is love, spiritual love. Love, when they get in this family, they are going to sustain themselves. So this is also a kind of service. And then Baba has been telling us, there are so many ways nowadays which we are using, through letters in the newspapers, through sending news, through conferences, through seminars, and many other global ways, into which I will not enter into details. Om Shanti. Now, if there is any question about power of silence or silence, then we finish. Pardon? When we practice silence, actually, as when we give the guided meditation, for example, that is just the start, the elementary, the preliminary. As we grow in our spiritual practices, as we advance, we do not, need all this kind of things. But on our own, when we just are conscious, are aware of our real identity, this takes us into that stage of silence. Depending upon our practice, how much practice we have. The more our practice, we have just to switch on and we are in that stage. Of course, the first thought is that I am a soul and I think of Shiv Baba and of Paramdham or the soul world and of my original nature. It's not that I repeat those thoughts in a particular way, in a particular order or sequence. But just when I think what I am, naturally I transcend from body consciousness into that stage of silence. And the intense or the deeper the love for Shiv Baba, the deeper is that stage. So not much of thinking or thoughts have to be used as we used in earlier stages of practice of meditation. But we have to be at the experiential level. Not that I am peaceful in my original nature, but realizing the peace, experiencing the peace. Not thinking that I am a point of light, but feeling illumined, that sort of thing. This is what comes by practice. Not that Shiv Baba is there in Paramdham and I am trying to be there mentally by using my imaginative faculty. But because of my practice, I am able to get that kind of a pull, experience. You feel that you are on the link, you are on the hotline now. Someone talking to you, my dad is there and I am talking to him. That is only at a stage which is not complete silence, but when I am in complete silence, I am like the Father. Very powerful, strong waves of light and might. And you will feel when you are at the peak, at the climax of that stage, as if even your body, perhaps you would leave the body today. You see. We very often, I personally feel like this. The body is complete, mostly eliminated from the thought. That I am light and might, there are strong waves as if they are spreading in all the directions. And from a very powerful source, as if they are emanating and radiating. That kind of feeling is there, the more you transcend into that state. Like? As far as I understand your question, I will try to repeat, so that let us first of all be clear about the question. There are two questions. One is that we are busy with many things in this life. And isn't it difficult for people who are busy with other things to attain that high stage? That is one question. And the second is that Baba said about something in the Murlis, how to attain that stage of silence. So what was your question in relation to that? Yes. Now, so far as the first question is concerned, of course, our being in the worldly atmosphere very much, most part of our day, we are exposed to the worldly influences. So it makes things more difficult for us. But I think those difficulties can be easily removed because Baba has given us many ways how we can do that, how we can protect ourselves from it. Now, there are germs around, but there are ways of health and hygiene. If we practice those ways of health and hygiene, then the four germs do not influence us so that we don't get diseased, because we have resistance, inbuilt resistance, which maintains our health. Similarly, however strong the influence is in the world outside, they can create problems for us. They have the potentiality enough to influence us. But they cannot, they will not, they should not. If we have in our life the observance of what Baba has given us, the principles, spiritual principles, the ways how our lifestyle should be, then we would remain free from that negative influence. Then it would not be difficult. So my question is yes as well as no. Yes for those who don't observe those principles, or they are slack in observing those principles, and no for those who very much observe Baba's principles. For them it is not that hard. But of course that obstacle is there, it cannot be denied that they have that kind of an influence outside, from which they have to guard themselves very much. And secondly, because we cannot always stabilize in one stage, in one way, the nature of our mind is that it wants variety. They say variety is the salt of life. We can't always practice in the same way, it becomes boring. However good a thing may be, you listen to a song today, it's very nice, you love it, you like it. Second time, little less. Maybe sometime even more, when you understand it better, appreciate it. But then after some time, it loses the charm for you. At least it becomes less over a period of time, again and again. And so happens with any kind of practice, any kind of thing which is repeated often. Therefore, Baba says that this stage, that stage and the other stage, you could follow that method. But I would personally feel that in the direct pull we have for Shiv Baba, just from here to there, fly, Baba says fly, not through stages or steps. But if I just fly and be with Shiv Baba, because the ecstasy is so much, the intoxication is so much, the joy of it is so much, that to me it is not boring. Every time I get new experiences, it renovates the soul. That experience in itself has so much. Everything, every time some new experience, either in terms of intensity or in terms of its expansion, its wide scope. Therefore, it does not give that feeling of boring. But if someone feels that there should be some change, as human nature wants some change, then I think, of course, Baba has been giving us so many ways, this step, that step, at the other stage, this stage, that stage, and the other stage. We can do that. We tell people meditation, concentration, realization, and so on. But now we do not require all those stages. Just sit and you can have concentration and realization. It's not that every time you know that picture, this stage, that stage, that stage, and the other stage. It's like that. We just go on doing like that even after a long time, we need not. When the child first is given the training to stand up straight and walk, then his knees cannot support himself very much at that time. Sometimes he falls, then he stands again, then he walks like, then again, so on. Now this process is not to be repeated today after walking for so many years. Because this baby has grown and the hair have now become white. You know? At this stage, that process is not to be repeated. So is also in yoga, that kind of thing. Okay, Om Shanti. Yes, last question. Do we have to explore what? I think it's not necessary. The whole lot, the bulk, to be finished. Not to search out into the rubbish what is lying there, you see. When we want to dispose of the rubbish, we don't just try to find out what is there in the rubbish. The rubbish is rubbish, you see. Okay then. Yes, brother, all right. Pardon, he is? When we know someone, and what did you say further? He is suffering. I think if it is possible, pardon? What he is asking is that if we want to help someone who is suffering, And now should we just think of Shiva Baba, meditate and so that and pray to Shiva Baba or ask Shiva Baba or recommend to Shiva Baba or whatever word you may like to give, that this person may be released from suffering. What we are exactly supposed to do when a person is suffering and we really want to help him through meditation? That is the question. I say when we just think of persons, then again we are being conscious of individuals. And Baba says we just think of Baba. The thought is in our mind. That's enough. And one of the ways could be that we meditate together, for example. What the purpose is that when that person meditates in our presence, because of the physical suffering or other kinds of suffering, if that person by dint of the own efforts is not able to detach from the body and to be in meditation, then through our own meditation we could help that person. And that would release that person from suffering. That could be one of the ways. The other is that when we sit in meditation and the simple thought in our mind that it is for the benefit of that person is enough. Not that we should try to bring the face or the facial expression of that mind, man's in our mind, to think very much of him in our meditation. That would lower our own stage of meditation and would not be the proper way, I suppose. Sometimes, of course, Baba has been saying that we may sometimes do this. But I think sometimes this may lead us lower on the rung of our meditation. It's better just to think of the benefit of that person and to meditate. Baba knows the purpose. That I think is the best. Mansa Sev. Om Shanti.